Just do it. Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49. And again, there's several pivotal chapters in the Old Testament historically. Here, Genesis chapter 49, Deuteronomy chapter 33, different chapters that God, through here Jacob, and in Deuteronomy, Moses, gives blessings and prophecies upon the 12 tribes of Israel, and here the 12 sons of Israel, and lays out some of the history that's going to happen up until today, things that have happened in Israel, and what things that are going to happen in the future. And we've talked about that. There's a history, a historical part to what we're looking at. There's also a doctrinal part, teaching, but we've kind of twisted that around and looked at it personally, because we could spend, you could spend a whole Old Testament survey kind of college course studying these 12 sons and what the God did in their lives. We're not doing that. This is not sitting down scholastically, you know, with a pencil and notebook. We're looking at how this applies to you and me a little bit more. Because, you know, the amazing truth is every part of God's word applies to our lives. Please don't forget that. And we're going to look a little bit more into that in a few minutes to remind us that it's just not New Testament. It's just not books written to the church that God gives us knowledge through. Amen. He gives us a lot of understanding of his word and his plan through every single word. God did not waste one of them. Every single word of God is measured. Okay, this book is put together perfectly the way God wanted it to. So today we're not going to be finishing up the sons. We're going to be looking at Joseph. We've been trying to cover several sons as we do this. This is just going to be Joseph today because there's enough information there for us to focus on. So if you would, look, starting in verse 22, giving you time to get there. Genesis chapter 49, verse 22, please. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a wall, whose branches run over the wall, by a well, whose branches run over a wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were strong by the hand of the Almighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd and the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of the heaven above, and blessings of the deep that lieth under, and blessings of the breast, and blessings of the womb, and blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of everlasting hills. They shall be on thy head, on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him that was separated or separate from his brethren. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, what it teaches us, and help us, Father, as we have seen some of the harsh blessings and the harsh judgments that Jacob has given upon his sons. But Lord, we see an amazing blessing given upon Joseph. And Father, it's something we certainly can learn from. Lord, I understand that your book has a very important part of our everyday life. And Father, I just pray that you'd be with my mind. Help us as we just open this up and take a close look at these wonderful blessings that you gave unto Joseph, and to see how it could be something that we could apply and change and be ready to be better for you in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. There's a theme that continues to keep coming up in my mind and with sermons I listen to and sermons and books I'm reading. This book is a biography. This book written to help us understand who God is, right? As a matter of fact, one of the things that one of the authors that I was reading says that this is his story. History. The way we look at it, it's his story. But one of the things that you and I need to understand is, if we're supposed to walk in Christ likeness, that's the word, what the word Christian means, correct? Christ-like one, then isn't this a book a biography of us? So often we, as Christians, walk around in this world trying to figure out necessarily what God wants from us. I'll tell you what God wants from us. He wants our lives to match up with what this book says about us. It's pretty simple. Take the book, learn it, and make sure your life matches up with it. If it doesn't, then we ought to be trying to be a little bit more Christ-like. Well, today we've been looking at Joseph and how Joseph, well, today we haven't been looking at, for months we've been looking at how Joseph is this amazing picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and all those things. We're not going to review all of them because there was quite a few. But we know between Joseph and Daniel, they were the only two people in Scriptures who never had anything negative said about them. Never one sin is mentioned, never a negative. God always speaks of them in the positive. So when we come to Joseph's blessing that he's going to receive from his father, we should be paying kind of close attention to this one because we've been studying the life of Joseph so closely. So I want to look at a few things first. Right off the bat from what we read in verse 22, the Bible says he was fruitful. He was fruitful. On your way to John chapter 15, what does God say the first words he speaks written in his Bible to Adam and Eve? Anybody remember? Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. God's plan for man has always been to be fruitful. And he says the same thing here when he's talking about Joseph. He said, Joseph is fruitful. That is the blessedness of who Joseph is. And guys, that is exactly what you and I are supposed to be. Fruitful. Now, I can't answer the question. This has got to be looking in your own heart. Not my place to judge. I have enough trouble looking at my own heart and life to make sure I'm doing it right. My question to us as we start out is, he was fruitful. Are you and I fruitful? Are we fruitful? John chapter 15, I told you to head over there. Famous passage. But I want to pull it apart just a second here and take a peek at a couple of things. Because it gives us a reality of this fruitfulness. If we're not careful, we can overlook it. It says, I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now, our job is to be fruitful, right? We already established that. And God says, if you're not going to be fruitful, there's a consequence, isn't there? Now, please, I want to make sure we understand this before we take one step further. We are not talking about loss of salvation. Matter of fact, a little bit later in this book, he says, you know, no man can pluck you out of my hands. Okay, we are guaranteed that. That's not the issue. But the issue is, how successful are you going to be in this life that you walk in Christ as a Christian? God says, if you're not going to be fruitful, I might just take you away. Now, again, this has got to be an answer in your own heart, but I got to ponder a little in my mind. How many of us have known brothers and sisters in Christ who have asked Jesus to be their Savior, you know, asked them to forgive their sins and come to a church or be a part of the family, and all of a sudden you see that they're really not serious, and before long, they're not here anymore, are they? Now, I wrote myself something in the notes here, and I want to say this carefully. You will not be comfortable in this church if you are not going to be fruitful. Number one, God wants you to be fruitful, and he's going to try to get you to do that. Number two, we're going to preach the book, and we're going to push one another to be fruitful. Yes? Doesn't the Bible say, provoke one another unto love and unto good works? That word provoke, I love it. It means cattle prod. You ever been hit by a cattle prod? I have. A friend of mine and I decided to try it just to see what it would be like. Duh. Okay, it's like putting on one of them dog collars and then barking. You ever see one of those guys do that? You know, and they get zapped. If you've never been hit by a cattle prod, you ain't missing much. Don't do it. But that's what this means, to provoke one another unto love and to good works. Remember what God said to Paul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks, that same idea. Sometimes we got to give each other a little bit of a poke. God says, be fruitful. If you're not fruitful, I'm going to take you away. Keep going. Look what else it says. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So are you fruitful? Hallelujah. Good. God's going to prune you a little bit, clean you up so you can bring out more fruit. This was a weird spring, and I missed pruning the pear tree. So I'm hoping it's going to have some good fruit this year. But you know what? To make sure it has good fruit, usually before that sap starts flowing good, you got to prune that thing back. Matter of fact, when I pruned the apple tree, I threw the branches on the ground, and it came out the next day, and the branches on the ground are budding. I was like, oh, that was so close. You know, it was too close. You shouldn't have waited that long. The issue is, if you're going to have a fruitful tree, you got to pluck off all them suckers who are going to distract it from actually bearing fruit, that are going to keep it. You know what those suckers are, right? Those suckers are things that take all the tree's power and put it into growing all these new branches as opposed to putting their efforts into fruit. Guys, God designed this world to picture so many things for us. If you're fruitful, he wants you to be more fruitful, right? All right, what are we talking about? We're talking about Joseph. He's a fruitful bough, it says. Verse 4 of John 15. I don't want to pass this because we'll get back to Genesis in a second. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except you abide in me. Where are you dwelling? Remember we talked about this last Sunday? So often we look to God's word and we're here to learn things. We're here to accomplish what we're supposed to and do. But are you living? Are you dwelling? Are you in the presence of God himself? If not, don't expect to bear fruit. Now come on, I'm being serious. This, we have a job to do. We were put on this earth to bear fruit. Are you bearing fruit? Last thing, and I wanted to, how many of you in this room are ordained? Okay, well, Dan and I raised our hands, because that is absolutely true, by man's standard. Look, if you would, this same chapter, verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, though this is God speaking, the Lord Jesus Christ, but I have chosen you. Who's the you? Us, right? And what? Ordained you. So I'm going to ask the question again. How many of you are ordained? Every single one of us. Every single one of us. Now, you may not be ordained into the pastorate or the ministry, but you are ordained by God, finish the verse, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask the Father in my name, he may give it. Guess what? You didn't know you were ordained, did you? You and I are ordained. If you've asked Jesus to be your Savior, if you are a Christian, he has set forth in front of you a job. Bring forth fruit. Now let's go back to Genesis. I don't want to spend all day on this because we got a couple more things to cover. Just a couple of insights, and for those of you who are studying the Word of God and getting your teeth in there and really cutting it with a knife and fork, you should have noticed a couple things here. Number one, it says, he's a fruitful bough planted by a well, right? Now, that should ring a bell with some folks, right? There's a couple of very famous wells in the Bible. One of them is in John chapter 4, isn't it? Where the Samaritan woman shows up and Jesus says, could you get me some water to drink, please? And they have a discussion about this ancient well that her forefathers had dug. And Jesus said, if I'm not careful, I'm going to not quote it right. Let me go there for a second. Wasn't my plan exactly, but John chapter 4. I'd much rather hear what God had to say instead of me trying to remember it and mess it all up. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith unto me, Give me to drink, thou should have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Keep going. The woman said unto her, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto him, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever shall drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. John chapter 7, verse 38 says this, He that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. When God reminds us of a well, never forget what he's talking about. He's talking about something in which you will always have a supply. It will always be. That's why this bow, this plant is growing, because it's planted by the well. And then notice it also says, just as a quick little insight, says that runneth over the wall, right? Back in chapter, says, whose branches run over the wall. You know what that means? I looked this up. This one took a little bit of knowing what the Greek says. The word wall is used in the Old Testament a lot, but there's only a couple times it's used in this way. This way means boundaries that like run around a piece of property. Sometimes it means like a strong tower or a defense or things like that. This one just happened to me. Boundaries. So listen to what that's saying. You are supposed to bear fruit, and your branches are supposed to reach outside of your own boundaries. You ever find yourself in that position? We have a certain circle of friends. We have certain people that God has put into our lives that are close to us, and we don't mind spending time with God's people on a Sunday morning, because these are the people that it's easy to talk about the Lord with, right? Come to church and yay, how you doing? Praise the Lord, I'm glad to see you. Good, I'm praying for you. But we get out in the world and that conversation isn't so easy, is it? Hey, good to see you. Praise the Lord, I've been praying for you. People look at you like... But God's saying, listen, Joseph is the kind of person in his life, not only is he fruitful, but it's outside the boundaries of his own place. I think of Apper and Grace. How God brought them here, and it's a little outside the boundaries of Surrey, New Hampshire, Nigeria, isn't it? But thank the Lord, sometimes we get an opportunity to do that, get outside of our own little close circle of friends. All right, next verse. I don't want to talk about this next verse. Can we skip it? Verse 23 in Genesis 49. I don't want to talk about it, but we got to. Archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. First of all, he is fruitful. Second of all, he has enemies. If you decide to stand up and live for the Lord Jesus Christ in your life and be a Christian and be numbered with God's folks, you're going to put a target on your back. You will be targeted. You will be hated. You will be shot at. Okay, in some parts of the world, that actually might be literally. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. Ephesians 6, 16. Now, I want to build this carefully today because I want us to see this amazing life that God has laid out for us. Ephesians 6:16 says this, Above all things, or above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Don't we know that armor of God? But the one thing I wanted to point out is fiery darts. there will be arrows flying your way. And it defines where those arrows are coming from, doesn't it? Matter of fact, you can look in the scripture and find out how many folks that were wicked were archers. Nimrod, we talked about him. Ishmael, when he walks away from God. Matter of fact, even in Revelation, the devil himself is told, said to be on a white horse with a bow, an archer. Amazingly, you and I will be shot at. Look at 2 Timothy while we're right here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, right? Don't we know that verse? Shall suffer persecution. When you and I decide to stand up and do what's right, all of a sudden the forces that stand against us take notice. We have a saying that we used to quote all the time. It's one of those things I let you guys sometimes into my thinking, which is kind of creepy. I got like posters that I can see inside my mind sometimes when I think about phrases that we use. Just do it, Nike stuff. One of the ones is when God moves, Satan counter moves. He's always an imitator. He's a reactor. When God does something, Satan will always stand up against it. When God moves, Satan counter moves. If you're going to stand up and you're going to pick up the armor of God, you are now in the bullseye. Hey, right? Don't be surprised. Isn't this what we do in regular warfare? There are civilians and then there are soldiers. And proper rules of war, you don't target civilians, but you do target soldiers. If you're going to stand up and be a soldier, guess what? You're going to be targeted. Now, please don't misunderstand this, because this builds so carefully. God says his desire for us is to bear fruit, that he has provided everything we could possibly need, a river flowing of water, and that we can extend ourselves and go outside our comfort zone to bear this fruit. But as you do so, don't be surprised if there's resistance. Because there's a whole group of people and a whole group of beings out there who don't want it. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, they hated me. They're going to hate you too. But then he says, but don't be afraid because I've overcome the world. The world's going to hate you, but I've overcome the world. Let's go to the next verse. I said, I don't want to spend too much time on that one. That one ain't fun. I like the next part. And guys who are on Wednesday night, this is going to be kind of a repeat because we're hitting it again. Chapter 24, verse 24. But his bow abode in strength, and the arm of his hands were made strong by the hand of the mighty God of Jacob. I don't know about you, but that's awesome. Not only was he fruitful, not only did he have enemies, but he was strengthened by God. Now, how about you? Guys, we talked about this on Wednesday night. God is our only true source of strength. There's a lot of things we can depend on, but remember the Bible says the arm of flesh will fail you. There's only one thing we can depend on, and that's God himself. Now, John chapter 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to flip around here. If you can keep up with me, please do so. If not, just I will try my best to read them. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. 1 John 4, 4. We love this verse. We kids sing it. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, you see how what's happening here? We're supposed to stand up, bear fruit. God's provided what we need, okay, even outside our boundaries. And when we do that, there's going to be a force, an enemy that stands up against us. But don't worry, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you will be strengthened by his arm. Back to our Wednesday night study. We've been studying the book of Haggai. So go to the end of your Old Testament and take a left. You'll back up to Haggai. I want you to hear this. This is an amazing thing. You know, when God says something once, it's important. When he says it twice, it's extremely important. When he says it three times, it's like he's yelling. Okay, we looked at this in Haggai chapter 2. Listen to verse 4. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest, and be strong, all the people of the land, saith the Lord, and the works, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. And verse 5, according to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. Yeah, there's going to be enemies that target you, but be strong. Your arm might begin to get tired, but the strength of the Almighty, his hand, will keep you. Just a couple others, guys. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Again, Wednesday nighters, you can take a break for sleep right now, because this is a repeat. Couldn't help but revisit it, though, just because of what God is saying to Joseph. Deuteronomy chapter 31, look at verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all of Israel, be strong and of good courage. For thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord hath sworn unto thy fathers to give it them. Thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear ye not, neither be dismayed. Now, I love this. You getting a picture so far? God says, go out, be fruitful. I provide everything you need. Stretch yourself out. Go over the wall. There ain't no boundary. Get out there and be fruitful wherever you can be. When you do so, it's going to stir up some problems. And there's going to be enemies. But don't worry. Because the hand of the Almighty will strengthen your hand. We talked about this again Wednesday night. What do you do to be strong? What do we do? We all talk about this. Okay? We have these things now called workouts. Okay? I think if you went back and talked to these folks back in these days, they'd say, workout what? You know, but we got to work out now, because all of us, you know, our culture is couch potato. Nobody gets out there and in the agricultural kind of lifestyle and works hard, labor every day. A lot of us just go click, 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 click. Or even better, our culture has the strongest thumbs on the planet. Well, we work out, right? Why? Because that's what's going to make us strong. And if you want to be stronger, what do?
Read the word.
Okay, you're talking spiritually. I'm talking physically. You eat right, and you what? Listen, I eat right. Okay, what I need to do is go exercise, right? Lay off the carbs, stay away from the cookies. Okay, what is it? What is the phrase, slim fast doesn't work if you mix it with chocolate syrup, you know, that thing? If I want to get stronger, I lift heavier weights. If I want to get more cardio, I spend more time on the treadmill. If you are going to get stronger, you must take on heavier burdens. We talked about this on Wednesday night. Listen, so many times in Christianity today, this weird thing is happening. This weird thing about we should be focusing on being happy and be full of joy, and there shouldn't be any struggles, and there shouldn't be anything, and it all should be a celebration. Listen, my Bible tells me that when I'm weak, now when do you get weak? Now, if you don't eat and do those things, but I'll tell you what, a couple times a week I go to the gym over at Planet Fitness. I meet with Pastor May over there, and we try to look like we're doing something. But after we do some weightlifting for a little while, you get them jelly arms, jelly leg, you know, man, you're weak. And what does a buddy do? We talked about this on Wednesday night. If Brian and I went out lifting, and I'm doing bench press, right? And I'm bench pressing. Somebody is behind me. What is he doing? What do we call him? A spotter, right? Why? Because that guy, and you hate him. You hate him for that minute because you get to that 10, and then they say, good, give me one more. You jerk. Okay? But what did you do? You push, you push, you push, and just to the point where you can't do it anymore, the spotter just reaches down and lifts that weight up and helps you. Not, but just enough. Because you know when you've gotten to that point where you can't lift it anymore, you've hit that place where you are really helping yourself to get stronger. Guys, understand something. God is our spotter. And we've got this strange thing going on in Christianity where we should be couch potatoes and let God do all the work. God says, stand up and be strong. Be courageous. Don't worry. Your hand might get tired. Matter of fact, you might get to the point where it fails you because you just can't push anymore. And God says, good, now the hand of the Almighty steps in and says, click. See, I told you you could do it. Just when you thought you couldn't do it anymore, God, the good spotter, just goes, you didn't think you could do one more, did you? But I helped you, didn't I? That's where Paul says, listen, when I am weak, that's when I know that his strength's come through in me. Because when I can't do it anymore, then God steps up. You see how this is laying out in Joseph's life? Go out and be fruitful. By a well. Stretch yourself out. You know what? There's going to be hard times coming. If you're not fruitful, I might just take you away. If you are fruitful, I'm probably going to prune you a little so you're more fruitful. But don't be dismayed. As a matter of fact, push harder. I will be there. An interesting thought in this. Go to 2 Kings. Some of us, when we get into our read through the Bible in a year, come across Kings. Often it's not the first place we go to do Bible reading. But there's an amazing story here. I just want to touch base on it real quick because it pictures 2 Kings chapter 13. 2 Kings chapter 13. And so often, we don't realize if we would make the extra effort, what God could do. Please don't be thinking that Christian couch potatoes is the way things go nowadays. God wants us to be stretching ourselves. Look, let's start in verse 14. Now Elijah was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elijah said unto him, take the bow and the arrows. And he took and said, took unto him bow and arrows. And he said unto the king of Israel, put thy hand upon the bow. And he put it upon it. And Elijah put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. And Elijah said, shoot. And he shot, and he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in affect till thou hast consumed them. And he said, take the arrows, and he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote the ground thrice and stayed. Now get this picture. He's sick, shoots an arrow out the window. Now he says, I want you to shoot a few more arrows out the window because these arrows represent God's deliverance over the Assyrians. I mean, over Syria. Okay, you get it? So God says, Phew, first arrow shot, and Elijah says, this is an arrow to show I'm going to deliver you. So he says, I want you to shoot a few more arrows. So he shoots three more. Now, I don't know why he only shot three. Maybe he got bored. Couch potato. Maybe his arm got tired. Wasn't ready to put out that extra effort. But look what happens. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou shouldest have smitten five or six times. Then had thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. Now get this picture. You see what's happening? God gave the king an opportunity to put effort into it. He only did three. And God says, if you had kept shooting five, six, now you're only going to be able to smite them three times. And that's it. You're not going to totally defeat them because you didn't put enough effort into it. Sometimes, again, my God said he would supply all my needs. You know what? I'm going to be a witness. You know what? Do you see how this doesn't work? Back to Genesis chapter 49. I want to look at this verse closely again, the way it's worded. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. I'll tell you one thing. I get tired, do you? But you know what? God said, I will be with you. I will strengthen you. When you're weak, that's when I can show my strength through you. Don't get discouraged. Don't ever. It's going to be tough. But God said he'll strengthen it. Now, next, he's blessed. He's blessed. Number one, blessed by God. There's a lot of things we get in this world. Please remember that every good and perfect gift is from above. If anything happens in your life that you consider good, it is because God has blessed you with it. Don't forget that, please. Because again, sometimes in this world, we can begin to think all the things we did was me. I got this new job and it's making me a lot of money. And no, the only reason you got that job is because God gave it to you. But the only reason you're able to stand on your own two feet is because God keeps you alive. God keeps you from sickness. Everything that you and I have, every blessing is from God. Please remember that. Because listen, remember I told you to try this last week? If somebody comes up to you and gives you something, or you have an ability to thank them for something and show some graciousness, I said, man, thank God for what he just did through you. As opposed to, well, thank you so much. How about, man, I thank God that he put you here to give me that, or he allowed you to bless me in that way. Because all of it is God. Not one bit, but I want you to notice something else here. He said, even God of thy father, who shall help thee by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and blessings of the womb, blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors. And the last verse, it says, the blessings had separated him from his brethren. Understand something, that you and I have the opportunity to be blessed by God more than other people. Now, please get this. We were talking about this the other day, Apper and I, when we were driving. We had a great time going to Concord and back. And, man, I can't wait. Hopefully, in this next week, they'll get their car that God has blessed them with. beautiful car. It's awesome. Beautiful car. But I've been in churches before where somebody gets a new car and you'd think that they walked around and slapped people in the face. Because I've actually, well, how come they get a new car? Well, I didn't get a new car. Where's my new car? Honestly. And I'm not talking about in kindergarten. I'm talking about in God's house. Don't you ever, ever talk badly about someone because God blessed them with something. You give God the praise for what he's done. Yes? Now please. Because God's word says that sometimes people are going to get blessed above others. Now, we also talked about this, and let me put in a commercial. Sometimes we are abased, brought low, we're struggling. Sometimes we abound, right? Things are going well. In America, we've taught ourselves that if I get an extra blessing, ooh, I get to go get something new and fancy for me. God has this system, guys. Often he blesses you and I because somebody else around us has a need that needs to be met. Because sometimes, I'm telling you, a raise, woohoo, that new boat. I've been waiting for that fishing boat. Dan and I got to do some fishing. We got to be careful. Now, I'm not saying that that's wrong, but often that's our first conclusion, isn't it? I just got something extra. Yahoo me. Sometimes God says, I'm giving you extra because someone around you needs your help. And it's amazing to me, so many times I have found, even in this church, somebody will say, man, I just got a bill. It's $100 extra I didn't plan on. I'm like, oh man, well, we'll see what God's going to do. We'll pray for you. And in that same morning, someone will come to me and say, man, you wouldn't believe this. I got a card in the mail from somebody I didn't know. It had $100 in it. And I go, Well, God just provided that need over there. Well, the problem is it's hard for me to go, you know what you need to do? You need to go give that to so-and-so. Okay, you just say, well, let me make an announcement from the pulpit. These folks got something, a bill that needs to be met. These folks, you know. God often blesses others above others. And he says it here to Joseph. You're going to be blessed above your progenitors, above the rest of your family. When you honor God with your life and live the life you ought to, you can expect that God's going to give you extra blessing. Some people may not understand that. Some people will be supportive. Some people might be jealous or angry. Just be careful. You remember the story of Joseph? Do we need to rewind the chapters and talk about the fact that the boy with the coat of many colors and Papa's favorite wound up getting thrown in a well, sold into slavery by his brothers because they was jealous because he was getting Papa's blessing and they weren't? It happens. People can handle it the wrong way. Now let me tell you something even less about money and more about blessing. Now that's just abundance. That's just things. I want to focus on something else. And we got to be careful with this, please. A standing sort of story that goes with churches sending kids off to summer camp or winter camp. The kids go there and they experience this amazing thing, right? Mike, you know, Lydia, you guys go off the camp. Camp is cool. You learn things. A lot of awesome stuff takes place. And at Word of Life, they do that video at the end and show all the stuff that happens. Everybody's going, oh, yeah, it's just so good. You know, And then they come home to church after having an amazing week at camp. And they try to tell their moms or dads or, you know, try to tell people in the church and the youth group and other folks, man, you wouldn't believe all this stuff that happened. It was great. It was a blessing. And we go, oh, that's nice. Now, it's not just the kids. Us, we'll go off to men's camp or ladies' conferences, wherever we go. And we'll have experienced something amazing, and we come back to God's family, and we'll say, you wouldn't believe the stuff that God taught us. This was awesome. And church goes, eh, okay, it was great. Because you know what? There's a blessing that you got that people are just not going to get. Case in point, I went to the Philippines and was able to share discipleship and meet 40 other pastors from around that area, and God really did an amazing thing there. Anybody else there with me and saw what happened? So that means the things that God blessed me with in the Philippines is a blessing that separates me from others. Right? There's no way that you guys can understand the blessing that God gave me in the Philippines because you weren't there. Now, that's not a bad thing, but how are we going to handle that? You can handle it one or two ways. You can do sometimes what Christians do just by accident, and that's throw a wet blanket on it. Oh, that's nice. Or you can do just the opposite and say, tell me what it was. Write it down. Remember this. Don't ever forget it. If God worked in your life, let's take what he did and use it to mold you into something more effective for God. You understand my point? Sometimes we look and we talk about blessings like a vehicle or a job or, you know, something like that. But you know what? God often gives us spiritual experiences that other people don't get. You guys are going to go out and work at the camp this week. I'm not going. There will be things that God allows you to partake in and be blessed with that there's no way we as a church are going to fully understand that. But you're going to come back excited and enjoy it, and we got to take that and foster that. Come on, moms and dads. Little kid comes in the house, grandma's, grandpa's, whatever. Here's the child, maybe 4 years old. Got an inchworm on their hand. Right? You know, a little green thing. They're hanging all over the place now. And how many of you have seen an inchworm before? How many have seen inchworms hundreds of times before? Okay, pretty much all of us. So what do you do when that little four-year-old comes in and goes, look! I got an inchworm! We go, I've seen a million of those. Will you go away? Is that what you do? Or do you go, show me. Let me see it. Wow, look at that. Look at how its little legs and how God made that thing to move just like it moving in it. Okay, I used to, Grandpa, he's here. I could pick on him. Grandpa took all three of my children out when they were little, very little, maybe even Faith size, maybe a little older. But would take them out at night and say, where's the moon? And they would look around the sky. There it is. How many of you? Almost every day of our lives we look at the moon, right? Eh, so what? But you know what? When God makes something special to someone, make sure you realize and support the fact that he made something special to them. Well, you know, Diane was at work. She bumped into this lady, and they started, you know, she saved the purse from getting robbed. That's what she told me. A woman walked away from her purse, and Diane helped this woman. They got to talking about the fact that they were both Christians. Whoop-de-doo. I talk to other Christian people all the time. No! Diane, awesome! Hallelujah, you got the chance to talk to somebody. And she shared a special prayer request. Well, people are sharing prayer requests with me all the time. Listen, we need to foster those special blessings that God gives us. Joseph was blessed above his his other family members. And did you see what it said? It separated him from them. How sad is that? When God does something amazing in our lives, we need to take it and make it amazing. We may never understand it. We may never get. Pastor, I was reading John 3:16 yesterday. Oh, you wouldn't believe what I saw. John 3:16, really? The most famous verse in all the whole Bible? We could probably say it backwards in our sleep. Don't you dare do that. If somebody comes up and God gave them an extra blessing, take that blessing and run with it. Help them to learn and grow in what God wants them to be. Amen? Now, if your life is a place where God's giving you these amazing blessings, Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Got two more verses and I'm done. Early. Whoa. I'm going to have to find something to talk about for 13 minutes. Psalm 119. Pastor, it doesn't seem like I get those extra blessings. That doesn't seem to ever happen to me. Psalm 119, verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. You want to know how you're going to get blessed? Seek God with your whole heart. Why did Joseph get blessed over his brethren? Because he sought God. We'll see that when we're going to start studying Psalm 119 soon. And we see that same thing in David's life. David was a man after God's own heart. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll be done. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. We love that verse. But we usually stop right there. There's more to the verse. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, number one, and that he is the rewarder of them who diligently seek him. You want to know how to get abundant blessings in your life? God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Are you seeking him diligently? Now don't answer it out loud. You got to answer that yourself. I can't tell you. I don't know if you're just cruising on a Sunday morning for an hour and the rest of the week God's not important to you. Can't tell you that. Only you can. All I know is the Bible just said God will reward those who diligently seek him. He will bless you if you seek him with your whole heart. Now, get on top of this. Now, we're going to put this, summarize this whole thing. God, through Jacob, his father, gives Joseph this blessing and says, you're fruitful. Because you're fruitful, you're putting a target on your back and the enemies are going to come after you. But don't worry. Your bow will be in strength. And even when your arm seems to be failing you and you feel weak, the arm of the Almighty will strengthen you and be with you. And because of that, see how this thing goes? You're going to be fruitful. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you above those that are around you because you're being fruitful. Because that's what I created you to be. So are you being fruitful today? Now I know what the question is, what the answer to that is for every one of us. Not as much as I should be. That should be all our answers. Dan had that same conclusion in Sunday school this morning. Are we living the life we ought to be, living like Christ? Well, yeah, but probably not as much as we should be. And I love what he did, challenge, said, let's get up and do this. You go, I'm going to do it. You come with me. Well, I ask you, if you're not being fruitful, what's the consequences? Now, don't be surprised if you're not getting blessing, because God said, those who aren't being fruitful, he taketh away. Now, I find that interesting. Does that mean he takes the person away? Or does he take the blessings and the reward away? God says, if you're not fruitful, he's going to take it away. Now, I don't know about you. I want to be blessed. Anybody else? There's a progression here. Bear fruit. Because did you read, catch that other verse? If you're fruitful, because I have ordained you to be fruitful and that your fruit would remain, and then if you ask anything in my name, I'll give it to you. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you and I would be fruitful, don't worry about the attacks, because God will stand for us. He's our strength. He's our might. Be strong. Be courageous. Go out there and bear fruit and watch God bless. And then take the opportunity, guys, please, in this land of abundance that we have, we are so spoiled in America that often we've even forgot to be grateful in general. Not even I'm talking about Christians, I just mean people in general have forgotten what it's like to be grateful. And then, guys, as Christians, we ought to be making sure we understand that this world knows that we are grateful to God, number one. And then to the other folks as part of that. Man, I'm so thankful God brought you to see me today because you blessed my heart. Man, I'm so glad God provided this for you because now you've given it to me and it's made my day. How about giving God some praise and glory for what he does? Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. Lord, please help me. I know my brothers and sisters in Christ here in the church are dealing with their own thoughts and their own hearts before you. But Lord, I know my own situation and my own heart. Father, first of all, please help me to be fruitful. And Lord, I like what you said in that verse. Even when we're bringing fruit, we could bring forth more fruit. That's what you want from us. So Father, as we stand here together as your people, we're asking you to help us be fruitful. Lord, help people to see in our lives the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, and help us to speak those words boldly so that people would see and hear from us the fact that they need a Savior like Jesus. And Father, it ain't always going to be fun. There will be those who stand up, and we know that. We'll put a target on our back, and we'll be laughed and scorned and hated just like you were. But Father, I thank you that our strength doesn't come from them. Doesn't come from this world. It doesn't come from riches. It comes from you and you alone. And Father, with that in mind, help us to be courageous. Lord, there's a difference between just being strong and, Father, being courageous, acting with the strength that you have given us. And then, Father, we just sit back and watch and allow you to bless us the way you see fit. Father, help us to praise you. Help us to worship you for who you are and be thankful to all the things that you do in our lives. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.